All right, good morning, church. You excited for this morning? So the bad news is we're taking a two-week break from our awesome series in Romans, but the good news is what we're doing during these next 2 weeks. And so next week, next Sunday, is Serve Day. I think it is the coolest thing we do. If you agree with that, say amen. We mobilize thousands of volunteers out to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We serve our valley. We serve our community. We serve the greater Bay Area. We serve the world. That's next weekend. If you haven't already signed up for Serve Day, do so. Do so with your family, with your small group, with your teams. One other thing, if you're looking for ways to build connections with your neighbors, a lot of your neighbors, quite honestly, won't say yes to an invitation to church. They will serve with you, though. If you invite them to serve with you at Serve Day, they will serve with you because people want to serve. I went into, this isn't in my notes, and I'm already getting behind, but I got to tell you. I was at Noah's Bagels yesterday, and I had a Tennessee volunteer shirt on. It just said volunteer. And the gal who was taking my bagel order, she goes, "Hey, where do you volunteer?" And I go, "Oh, no, this is like the Tennessee volunteers. Like this, I went to a game there years ago." But I go, "But since you're talking about volunteering..." Let me just tell you about what's coming up next week. And I invited her to volunteer at Serve Day. I'm going to follow up with her this week. We'll see if it works. So that's next weekend. Super excited about that. But today is even more exciting in some ways. Oh gosh, this is the day. And I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm just going to tell you right out the start. I'm going to ask every single one of us, I'm going to ask every one of you watching at home or in a car or wherever you are, I'm so glad that you're with us, to contribute, to participate, to partner, to give, to help people in need in our valley, in the Bay Area, and around the world. And you need to know right here at the outset that everything you give will go out. We will not keep one penny, one dollar for ourselves, and there's no catch to that. Every year, we give a big portion of our budget to local and global mission partners in the Bay Area and around the world. And so I can say this with integrity. When you give to CPC, you're really giving through CPC. And you're giving to mission partners all around the world. This is year two of a new way of budgeting and giving toward missions globally and locally. And the goal in doing it this way is to raise even more and give away even more money than we have in the past. And so this is the second year where we're dedicating 1 week a year. And it's this week right here. It's For the World Sunday. It's today. We dedicate 1 week in a year to global and local mission partners. And the goal, again, is to raise a large amount of money and to give it all away. Now, last year we came to this weekend and we had prayed. I prayed, Deanna prayed, our pastoral team prayed, and we came to you with an ask. We're saying, Lord, we believe you. We're believing you for $500,000, $500,000. This week, in this special offering, this is above and beyond. Like Deanna said, this is not tithes that keep the lights on or the ministries or Sunday morning programming or kids ministries or student ministries. It's not that. This is an above and beyond For the World offering. We prayed for $500,000 and the Lord stirred your hearts and you were faithful. And this is how much you gave this week last year. $841,000. Isn't that incredible? And I can tell you, I'm so excited to tell you that we gave all of that away. And you're going to see video on some personal testimonies that are very, very powerful on what God did. But that's not all. See, last year was the last time that we had a budgeted amount for our missions, a little bit under $400,000 in our budget. So that existed. Then we had the For the World offering for the following year. So we gave that away as well last year. So the real true number of how much you gave and we gave away for the world and for the Bay Area and for the Valley over the last year alone is closer to this number right here, $1.2 million. That's over 20% of our annual church budget. That is incredible. So for the last few weeks, I've been in prayer and Deanna, our missions director, has been in prayer. We invited our pastoral team to pray about this too. And over this last week, we began to see and crystallize. We had some clarity about a number that we're asking God for this year. We're believing, and I'm still going to be blown away if this happens. But here's what we're trusting God to bring in by stirring your hearts and our hearts and giving. It's this number right here, $750,000. That's $750,000 this week. That's what we're trusting God to bring in. And we're going to give it all away. Now the question is, why? Why so much? And the answers are pretty simple. We believe that the church should be known for its generosity. Amen? We believe that to whom much is given, much is required. Amen? We believe that being generous, being for the valley, being for the world, is actually fun. Amen? We believe that there's a connection between joy and generosity. They go hand in hand. The happiest people you know are the most generous people you know. You'll never meet an unhappy, generous person. They just don't exist. Jesus said it this way in Acts chapter 20. This is a very, very true statement. He says, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." Now, the Greek word for blessed there is happy. It's more happy to give than to receive. You are more happy when you give than when you receive. God, of course, doesn't call us to do things that he doesn't model for us. So in Romans chapter 8 at verse 32, God's word says this, "Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else?" I want you to notice the repetition that I've highlighted in yellow here. God gave, God gave, God gives. At the heart of Christianity is a God who gives. And church, listen to me. We follow him. We give because he gave. Now, some of us are thinking, wait, what's the catch? Like, God has to be getting something out of this, right? And actually, he doesn't. Matter of fact, there's nothing that we give to God that he doesn't already own. It's not that he wants something from you. He truly wants something for you. And the thing that God wants for you is the blessing that comes from generosity, the blessing that comes from generous living. At the heart of Christianity is a God who gives. Now, I want to answer three crucial questions in regards to generosity here this morning. I'm going to put them up on the screens for you. Then we're going to look to the scriptures to answer them. Question number one is, why are we so blessed? Number two, who are we giving to? When we give to the church, when we give to for the world, who are we giving to? And then thirdly, what happens when we give? Those are the three questions we'll look at this morning. Now, the first one is simply this. Why are we so blessed? Why? Have you ever thought, like, why do you have what you have? Why has God given you so much? Now, the answer, according to Scripture, is not so that we can have more or consume more or build bigger barns. God doesn't bless us to make us more comfortable. He doesn't bless us to make us stress-free. He doesn't bless us to make us feel secure. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing. We say this often here. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. God gives to us so that we can be rich in generosity to help others. A poignant scripture from the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6 puts it this way. It says, "Tell those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable." Now that phrase in yellow, rich in this world, when you hear that, chances are, most of us in here think to ourselves, well, I'm not rich. Our next thought is usually this, I know someone who's rich. We can all think, oh yeah, so-and-so's rich. Oh, they're rich. She's rich. He's rich. But I'm not rich. But research would show us that if we own a car, if we have internet at our home, if we own a home, if we have a refrigerator with food in it or any combination therein, we're actually in the top 1% of the richest people on the planet. So even though we don't feel rich, the studies would show that we are rich. And here's what Paul tells us in the very next part of this verse. We'll just highlight it differently. Not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. How unreliable is money? The stock market is up and then now it's down. Interest rates are down and now they're way up. So Paul says, don't trust in your money. It's so unreliable. Money is a great tool, but it makes a lousy God. Don't trust in it. But instead, look at the next part of the verse, 17. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need, and then I love this phrase, and you will too, for our enjoyment. Aren't you so glad that that phrase is actually in there? For our enjoyment, God gives us everything that we need. Yes, it's okay. It's good. It's right to enjoy what we have. Your home or your homes. Your car or your cars. Good food and drink with your friends. It's good to enjoy those things. They're blessings from God. But that's not it. God didn't just give it to you. He wants to give through you. Because look at the next verse, verse 18. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Now, next weekend, Serve Day weekend, that's our chance to be rich in good works. This weekend, today, that's our chance to be generous to those in need, always ready to share with others. We may not feel rich, but according to God's word, we are rich. And some of you, many of you perhaps, are sitting here going, if you're honest with yourselves, you're going, we're pretty rich. Like we have plenty. And the Apostle Paul is saying in the scriptures, here's how you be rich. You be rich in good works and you're generous to those in need. So let's look at our question. Our question is, why are we so blessed? And according to the scriptures, here's the answer. We are blessed to be a blessing, to be generous to those in need. So the reality is we're a large church and we're a generous church, but we can't meet every need. We can't solve every problem, but we can meet some needs. We can solve some problems. I love this quote from Mother Teresa. She says this, if you can't feed 100 people, feed one. Feed one. It's powerful. Mother Teresa, most people don't know this, came from a family of tremendous affluence in that she dedicated her life to serving the poor. See, the answer is never to do nothing. It's always to do something. And there's something that I want to show you that you have done in the last year because of you, because of your generosity, because you know that you are blessed to be a blessing. One of the things that we've done through the For the World funds from last year is we gave almost $100,000 in partnership with Convoy of Hope. And most of that went to the crisis in Ukraine. And a lot of that was humanitarian aid. It was food. It was essential items. But God worked in that in powerful ways. And I want to show you a brief video that shows that God worked through you not just to meet tangible needs in the lives of the Ukrainians, but also to meet and to spur their spiritual needs. Take a look at this.
Майже кожні дві неділі прилітають ракети туди. І це сильно виводить людей з рівноваги, ну і людей це сильно лякає. А багато з наших людей з церков, які розповідають мені історії, займаються евакуацією. Дуже часто людей немає води, немає ніякої їжі. Коли я почав останнім особливо часом робити репорти і говорити безпосередньо з пастирями і людьми, які займаються розповсюдженням продуктів. Завдяки цьому, що ми даємо людям продукти, багато людей приходять до церкви. Багато людей каються і приймають хрещення. Багато пастирів мені особисто кажуть, Діма, ви просто не уявляєте, яку сьогодні Бог робить роботу саме через оці можливості, які нам Бог дає через конвой і через ваш фонд. І я впевнений, що люди знають про це і вони будуть постійно пам'ятати про це. Вони почали розповідати історії, коли Бог почав робити дуже велику роботу і наповнив церкви зовсім новими людьми. Тому я хочу сказати, що цю допомогу, яку ви висилаєте, Бог використовує для того, щоб робити велику роботу і спасати людей. Тому я дуже дякую всім, хто приймає цьому участь, і ви маєте знати, що ви частина Божого великого проєкту в Україні.
All right, how cool is that? Not just feeding their stomachs, also feeding their spiritual needs. I love that. Why are we so blessed? That's the first question we looked at. We're blessed to be a blessing, to be generous to those in need. I love what Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. That's why we're enriched in every way. Let's look at the second question that we're addressing this morning. Who are we giving to? When we give to the poor, when we give to the needy, when we give to the church, when we give to God's work, who are we giving to? Now, Jesus answers this question in a unique way in the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 25, he tells a story, and at the end, there's a little bit of a twist. So let's look what Jesus says. We'll pick it up in verse 34, of Matthew 25. He says, then the king will say to the righteous, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Now, at this point, the people surrounding Jesus go, hold on a second. They were incredulous. They said, what is he saying? Like, I don't remember Jesus. I don't remember seeing you sick. I don't remember seeing you naked. I don't remember encountering you hungry. And they were trying to figure this out. And Jesus solves it for them in verse 40. Look what he says. And the king will say, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did for me. You did for me. The righteous say to Jesus, we didn't see you. I didn't recognize you, Jesus. And I was wondering as I was praying for all of you and all of us next week as we serve together, a couple thousand strong in our community at Serve Day, will we recognize Jesus? Will we recognize him in the hungry? Will we recognize him in the broken? Will we recognize him in the faces of those struggling with recovery? Will we see Jesus on Serve Day? Because Jesus says, whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. Whatever you give to the least of these, you give to me. I think the best analogy to try to understand this is, and I know that we're not all parents, but many of us are parents. It's basically understanding the relationship we have with our kids. Namely, when someone hurts one of your kids, it kind of feels like they hurt you, doesn't it? Whereas when someone blesses or invests in one of your kids, it feels like they bless or invested in you. I had an example of this recently, just a few weeks ago. A friend of mine who's the father of one of my youngest sons, Cole's, one of his best friends, he reached out and he says, hey, we're putting together a birthday party for my son, and we're gonna go to the Santa Cruz boardwalk for the day and dinner at night, and then after we're gonna come home late, but it's an all-day thing. Can Cole come? And unfortunately, the day that they were asking about, it just didn't work. I think Cole had a game is what it was. And so we said, man, what a bummer, because Cole loves your son, of course, is one of his best buddies. And he could go the day after, and he could go the day before. He just can't go on that day. So we thought, hey, bummer. Cole misses out on his buddy's birthday. But then he gets back to us a few hours later. He goes, guess what? I talked to my son. He really wanted Cole at the party because he loves him. And so we moved it. We're going the day before. And so they moved the entire thing. And this is multiple people involved in this thing the day before just so that Cole could be a part of his buddy's birthday party. I remember thinking, that is so stinking cool that he did that. And so Cole went to the boardwalk. He spent all day with his buddies. They went to dinner afterward. They got back super late. He was wiped out the next day. But I asked him about it, and he just lit up like a Christmas tree. And I go, man, he was really blessed by that. But honestly, I felt blessed by that. This is what Jesus means when he says this. Jesus says, when you do something for one of my children, especially for one of the least of these, one of the hurting, the hungry, the struggling, you do it for me. So let's go back to our question. Jesus answers it directly. Who are we giving to? And the answer is clear. Jesus says, whatever you give to the least of these, you give to Jesus himself. Let's look at this third question. This one's really cool. Question number three. What happens when we give? So I already said I'm gonna ask us to give. So every one of us is probably thinking, well, what happens when we give? Now, smack dab in the middle of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addresses this. And it's one of the simplest, but I think one of the most profound lessons in all of Scripture, specifically in relationship to our heart and our money. And just let me pause and say, whether or not you're a big giver to our church, or whether or not you're a big giver to For the World last year, you're planning on being a big giver or contributor to For the World this year, I don't know, but here's what I know about you if you're here. Here's what I know about you if you're watching at home, you're taking time to be a part of this church. I know that you wanna have a heart that's more after the things of God. I know that you wanna have a heart that grows to be more after what God is after. Just, if that's you, if that describes you, I want a bigger heart for God, I want a bigger heart for the things of God, just raise your hand and go, yeah, that's me, that's what I want. I'm not surprised. Almost all of us raise our hand here right now. So here's the one verse lesson that Jesus gives, one of my favorite verses in Scripture because of the transformation that comes from it. Profound truth, Matthew 6 at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, I'll just break out my little illustration here. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Put another way, this way is maybe even easier just to digest. Your heart follows your money, according to Jesus. One of the most profound lessons in all of Scripture, your heart follows your money. And you know this because you've probably bought stocks in the past, and maybe you didn't follow the ticker tape of the stock market and that stock in particular, but once you buy the stock, now you're interested. Why? Because your heart follows your money. You didn't always used to see nice F-150s on the road, but then you did your research because you knew that was the car for you. And then you actually bought your Ford F-150, and now you drive around, you notice all the other beautiful Ford F-150s on the road. And why is that? Because your heart follows your money. And then you send a kid to college, and when he or she is at that college, all of a sudden you're paying attention to that college's games. You root for them. You want them to win in football. You want them to win in basketball. You're going, I didn't even care about this school years before. Like, why do I care now? And Jesus would say, because your heart follows your money. But here's the good news about this. We already raised our hand and said, we want to have a heart that's more after the things of God. So the good news of this biblical truth is this: you can guide your heart to be after God. You can grow your heart to be more after what's important to him, specifically the poor, the needy, the less fortunate. And the way that we do that is through giving, because our hearts follow our money. That's not the only benefit. There's a couple other ones. I just want to show you real quick from Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. It says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So to the measure that you refresh others through your giving to For the World, you yourself will be refreshed. Another place, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. Overflowing barns, vats of new wine. Now I've got your attention, don't I, church? I know the key to your hearts. No, I'm just kidding. Let's look at the question, the third question. What happens when we give? And the answer, according to Jesus, is so clear. Our hearts follow our money. And that's why today I'm asking us as a church to give to the least of these. There are so many people in this area, in this world, who have not just financial poverty, but spiritual poverty, relational poverty, emotional poverty. And it's my hope that our church will continue to be known for our generosity. Like you, I love you so much. You are one of, if not the most generous church I've ever known. Like, you get these truths more than most people. You really do. And that's why I'm so excited to show you a video. I want you to see this. This is just a recap video of what has happened over the last year. Now, in this service last year, we looked back 6 to 8 years at what we've been doing. This video is just the last year. Because of you, because of your generosity, this is what God has done in the last year. Take a look at this.
Hey, my name is Christian Huang, and I'm the co-founder of Mobilize Love. Mobilize Love exists to show up and give kids hope. The whole idea is we want to go to where they are at. But we can't do this work without you. And that's why we want to take this moment to say a huge thank you to CPC Church. You guys stepped up in a huge way and supported our ministry as we were starting off. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing here today. There's so much need everywhere across our city, but without your support, we wouldn't have the fuel to even show up. So I want to thank you, CPC Church, for your partnership.
Hello, CPC family. It's Billy Coleman, the executive director at Today's Youth Matter. And our vision and mission is to simply transform the lives of urban youth. These are kids who live on the outskirts of hope. 40% of them are in the foster care system, and 99% of them live below the poverty line. But the good news is that thanks to your generosity and your partnership, we're able to launch over 200 kids this summer into what we call a transformational journey. It starts with a summer camp experience that introduces them to Christ, expands their possibilities, and gives them a new vision for their lives. And invite them into what we call a pod. It's a mentoring program that teaches kids life skills, spiritual foundations, leadership development. The Bible says that Jesus, when he looked out at the crowd, he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Thank you for helping us shepherd kids. Thank you for helping us accomplish the Great Commission.
Hey,
Hey CPC, I'm Brent, Program Director here at Restore. I want to thank you guys so much for your support and on everything you do for Restore. This van back here is an amazing donation that you guys gave us and gifted us with so that we can continue to provide for our homeless outreach. One of the great things that we get to do with this van is more than a meal. What we do is we go out and not just hand somebody a meal, we get to share our love and share what God is doing in our lives and spread that out to our homeless community so that they know that there's hope out there for them. Thank you, CPC.
As we all know, the past few years have been very challenging, especially for our kids. And with COVID and post-COVID, what we've experienced with students is a very high level of anxiety, depression, and many students having thoughts of suicide. And because of your generosity, we've been able to meet students where they're at and being that hope and encouragement, reaching about 10,000 students a year. As we all know, CPC is for the Valley, and we are so grateful for the many, many, many years of partnership with Teen Esteem, supporting and encouraging families in our Valley. Thank you, CPC.
Hey, everyone at CPC. We just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Several weeks ago, the people of Ukraine woke up to a life-altering conflict in their country. More than 11 million men, women, and children have been forced to leave their homes. Many of them have fled to neighboring countries. But in these desperate moments, you stepped up to help your Ukrainian neighbors with extravagant love. Your sacrificial gift is providing food, bedding, hygiene kits, shelter, and other desperately needed relief supplies. Not only are you making a difference in your community, you're also impacting the world. Thank you for being such a phenomenal partner. Let's keep delivering hope together.
Thank you so much, everyone there and Community Presbyterian Church. We really, really appreciate your partnership. We've been serving with Operation Mobilization for almost 40 years, primarily focused on reaching the most unreached peoples of the world, especially out in the Muslim world in Central Asia, South Asia. These are peoples where there is no church. They may not have a Bible. There's no Christians. There's nobody there to share the good news. This is more than just this life. One life to live will soon be passed. Only that which is done for Christ will last. It's a short life. How can we invest it for something that goes beyond this life?
Pastor Tyler at CPC Church family, how you guys doing? I'm in Laos right now. I just want to thank you guys. I was at your church a few weeks ago. The outpouring of your church is amazing. You guys are supporting church planting pastors in like six countries now, and one of those you're supporting is here in Laos. And this is what God is doing in the unreached areas. They're worshiping the Lord right now. They're going to baptize several of them. You guys are helping making this possible. And speaking about what's possible, all things are possible with God. I pray that truth would encourage you this morning. And as you're worshiping with God's people, as you're hearing God's word, I pray that you're encouraged. I want to thank you for your partnership, and God bless you.
Hallelujah!
Yeah, isn't that amazing? So I've seen that video a bunch of times, and I've been part of every round of the edits of it, and yet it still affects me emotionally. And yet I realize that there, not everybody is moved by emotion like I am or like some of you are. Some of you are going like, that's great, but give me data. Like what's happening? And so I just want to share a few highlights of those for those of you who are just like, I actually really want some data. 360 Serve, which is the last one that you just saw there with our partnership in India and in Laos with Mark Tyler, and he's been here. He taught here in July. Through your generosity, we were able to sponsor in the last year a banner outreach where teams of people went out to 6,000 plus villages sharing the gospel. I mean, there's 3 billion people in India. And we also sponsored 214 church planters. And so just let me give you these stats. You, through your generosity, helped us plant 13,085 churches in India last year in 6,500 plus villages. And it just, these are the amount of people that heard the gospel message last year because of this. 1,098,000 heard the gospel message in India. And then these numbers are staggering. And this one is like, I'm a conversion guy. I want people coming to Christ. I mean, this is the most important thing. This is why we do what we do. 261,000 people came to Christ in India over the last year. 3,359 of them got baptized. You know, to get baptized in India is, you're putting yourself out there. You can't even do it in front of most places. The Convoy of Hope, the Ukrainian relief that we showed, over 1.7 million people served, 10.2 million meals served in 102 communities in 15 countries around there through 351 different churches and partner organizations. Teen Esteem, many of you have a heart. Okay, I love the nation's pastor, but I live here and I care about kids and families here. And so we have Teen Esteem with all these high school and middle school students and elementary students who've gone through a really, really difficult time over the last few years. Our counseling center has a 3-month wait. There's not enough therapists, there's not enough help. The need is outweighing the ability to help people. Well, Teen Esteem is a great partner, and they this last year presented to over 10,600 students at schools where they added 28 new elementary schools, grade schools, and high schools just in the last year. In addition to that, they presented to 19,200 parents in person or virtually. And here's just to get specific, let me get granular for a second. They do a survey after every one of their student presentations. And there were 38 students who filled out a survey. They actually put this down, that said, I'm contemplating suicide. And Tina Steen followed up with the school and the administration and every, I mean, just can you imagine if that was your child or your grandchild? They followed up with every one of those students and connected them personally to a counselor, every single one of them. The Mexico trip, you saw some footage of that. You gave $50,000 to our Mexico missions trip with our high school ministry. That helped over 300 high school students and adult volunteers to have, and if you've gone, you know, it's the most life-transforming discipleship experience that you could have. Built 15 homes, transformed lives, families, futures, hope. $10,000 to foster the city, $10,000 to Care Portal, $93,000 to Convoy of Hope, $71,000 to Restore, $50,000 to Forge. That's the movement led by Hugh Halter and the ministry in all in Illinois. He's our men's speaker for half of our men's fraternity. $50,000 to City Team in Oakland, another $50,000 to Mobilize Love in San Francisco, $35,000 to Today's Youth Matter, $25,000 to Operation Mobilization. Now, those are statistics. That's all, and you can clap for that. That's an amazing amount of money in ministry. I only mentioned 12 of our mission partners. We have over twice that many. It's just all the time that I have right now. So many lives, so many people, families, lives have been transformed through your generosity that it is a huge privilege to be able to stand up in front of you and just say, thank you. thank you for what you do. And I prayed for you this week. And one of the things I prayed for is that there would be more people. Like, I heard a story this week that a young boy walked up last year and he put a For the World envelope in and he gave it to our executive director. And he said he put his fingers around it and he could tell that it was about 35 cents. And he said, I just knew that that was a huge portion of what this boy had to give. And so I prayed for people in our church like that boy, who you go, we don't have that much to give, but we can give something. But I also prayed, and I just want you to hear this. I also prayed for those. There are some people here and in our church. You have incredible financial means. And you could make such a kingdom impact, a life-transforming impact through making a gift that would actually make you feel a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit less secure, but it would have such an impact. And so I prayed for you too, and I prayed for everybody in between. I'm gonna pray in just a moment. I gotta give you the specific ways that we can give to this. Just put a slide up here. There are three primary ways to give to the For the World offering. The first one is online. Over half of our monies that come in to and through the church come in online. If you wanna take a picture of that barcode, actually the barcode is on your envelopes as well. That actually won't work now that I'm looking at it. Another way is through the envelopes. So you can drop your giving envelopes in either. They're gonna be usher baskets. There will be ushers at the back with baskets. You can put it into there. There's also kiosks in the lobby where you can just drop it into one of those boxes. And the other one is, I know that in this day and age, not all of us bring like a checkbook to church. I get that. I don't either. But anytime this week, you can mail in or bring in cash or a check to CPC. If you write a check in the memo, just put For the World in the memo. And then in the next week or two, as money trickles in, we're gonna do this for a week. We'll come back and we'll bring an update to what you've done. I just wanna reiterate what I said at the beginning. We really do believe that the church should be known for its generosity. And we really do believe that to whom much is given, much is required. And we believe that being generous, being for the valley and for the world, is truly fun. That there is a connection, a hand-in-hand connection between joy and generosity. The happiest people that we know are the most generous people that we know. I just want to encourage you with that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this church. It's just such a great, generous church. And yet we acknowledge that we're just following you. At the heart of Christianity is a God who gives. You gave your one and only. I just can't even imagine. And so, Lord, I pray that it's your church. These are your mission partners. It's your money. You own it all anyway. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's a lot of us that just need to be reminded that when we give to you, we're just giving back to you what you've entrusted us with. And you even say that in your scriptures. We've been enriched in every way so that we can be generous and willing to share. And so we pray for our mission partners. We thank you for the men and women who in this community, in the Bay Area, around the world, are doing the work that you've called them to. I pray that they would be encouraged through these gifts and this offering. I pray that we would be encouraged. I thank you for the truth of what Jesus said, that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be. Our hearts follow our money. And God, we want hearts that are more after you, more after the things of you, more after the least of these. You have a heart for the poor. You have a heart for the needy. You have a heart for the struggling. And I pray that we would grow our hearts for them. God, I thank you that as we look back even further than a year, there are so many things to thank you for. I mean, we go back 8 years. Lord, thank you. You've given through this church over $2 million just to Centauro Village. Sponsored 500 kids, kindergarten through eighth grade, built schools, dug a well. I mean, just, we could go on and on. And Father, I pray that you would help us to fulfill the vision that you have given us to reach more people for Christ, to help more people follow you, Jesus. We trust you with that. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity to join you in your great work. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let's stand. Hey, as you go, I just pray that God would bless you as you pray through this and as you contribute to this offering. And I also pray that you would come back next week ready to serve, excited, with your neighbors. Get your Serve Day t-shirts on. Don't miss the rally at 9 o'clock right in here. It'll be about 10 to 15 minutes. And then we'll run out of here to all of our different projects all over the Bay Area. Church, I love you. It's a privilege to talk about generosity because I know that when God gets a hold of our money, he gets a hold of our hearts. So I love you. I love you. I want you to know that. God bless you. Have a great week.